butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow.
That song, genius, Dalton, genius. 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And one of the subjects, of course, we talked about, we've been talking about for a while and discussed yesterday during the midday show and this morning as well, is yesterday, Mobile County Commission meeting. And we had a couple pastors showing up there at the meeting to protest the upcoming Drag Queen Story Hour slated for September 8th at the Ben May Public Library. And we'll get more from Quinn Hillier about that and also some national politics. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, y'all.
Now, you could, is there a chance that you could come read the Bad Jones trilogy to the children? Yeah, maybe starting on the next, the following weekend?
I would be glad to, but there are things in the Mad Jones trilogy which are not appropriate for children, even though they are perfectly legitimate as, you know, ordinary part of life for adults.
Wait a second, you're saying it's there's a book that could be, and subjects could be okay for adults, might not be for children.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, but what this whole idea of a drag queen reading hour is not appropriate for children. And it's the old actress, Mrs. Pat Campbell, or whatever her name is, who was the first one to play, what's-her-name, in Pygmalion on stage, was famous for saying, "I don't care what these affectionate people do as long as they don't do it in the streets and frighten the horses." Well, this is the equivalent of doing it in the streets and frightening the horses. Except it's a lot more important than horses, it's children. And it's I don't think sex and sexuality are something that you need to rub in the face of 3 to 8 year olds, gay or straight for that matter. But this is something where openly they're saying that they're not even saying they want to do it because they want to help, that, you know, do something nice for the children. They're saying we want to do it to promote acceptance of, you know, our lifestyle or whatever they call it. It's a nationwide movement that is part of an ideological agenda, and but it's one that involves sex and sexuality for 3 to 8 year olds, and it's just inappropriate, whatever the legality of it is. It's wrong, and they shouldn't do it.
All right. Well, I mean, let me challenge that and say it's not compulsory, right? I mean, there's nobody going to be forced to take their children to this event, and it's other than, and like I've said the whole time, my one, the place where I think there's a handle here is the fact that it's in a public facility, but no other funding going into it. But then I could argue, if it's in a public facility and you say no to this, what about some other group that would say, whatever other group comes out there, they're offensive to us?
That's why I say the law is iffy. The mayor of Lafayette is looking into a way to try to stop this from happening in Lafayette, Louisiana. The law is very tricky for good reason, First Amendment and all that. So, you know, there are time, places, and manner restrictions, and I guarantee you that if this were a playmate who wanted to wear a Playboy bunny suit and read, you know, risque material to children 3 to 8, I guarantee you that everybody would be trying to find some way of saying that this is not allowable, and they would be right to try to find out if there is a way within, you know, restrictions on time, places, and manner to say that this is a valid manner restriction. People would not want a Playboy playmate to wear a bunny suit and read to kids.
Hmm. No, maybe not kids, maybe adults. But,
I mean, so we're okay. In a society right now, and And again, I'm not saying this should be that this can be legally stopped. I'm saying this should not happen, though. We are in a society where the government is all over the place, is trying to tell private businesses that they must perform services, and yet they are saying that public places cannot impose community restrictions. There's something wrong with that. And look, again, this is a matter of propriety and good taste. And this is just not good taste, and it's not appropriate.
Well, we can argue, though. I mean, the cliche is true, though, that First Amendment's there, not there to protect popular speech, and you could argue that.
I'm not talking about the law. Okay, I'm talking about what's appropriate.
I know, but I mean, but you have to talk about whether it's going to happen or not. I mean, you have pastors and other groups are saying, "Y'all don't let this happen," and you've got the commissioner saying, "I'm against it, but I can't do anything about it." You have Mayor Stimson saying,
"Okay."
It's beyond the purview of the office.
Let me make very clear what I'm about to say and what I'm not. I am not equating a drag queen to an Italian brown shirt, okay? A Mussolini.
I would hope not.
Fascist.
Right.
But if somebody wanted to reserve the room and wear a Mussolini brown shirt outfit, then I guarantee you there would be found a way to say that this runs afoul of time, place, and manner restrictions, and they would find a way to stop it, which means that on the slippery slope of the law, there are limits. And the question is, where are the limits? And I guarantee you, if you can find a limit for brown shirts, or find a limit for bunnies, you can find a limit for drag queens doing this for our children. And there's something.
But you're saying there needs to be there's not a real legal block. You're saying there needs to be a nuanced block to it. Because I would argue that.
I would argue that they would find a legal block if it were.
I mean, you talking about like a fire marshal thing? I mean, you talking about something like that that's been done in the past where you find some kind of subcode? Because, I mean, play devil's advocate is kind of fun on this, Quinn. I mean, I can look at it and say anything that goes on, this is a public building, so if it can go on in the public forum, in public, can it go on there? And you could argue that the brown shirts... The brown shirts, while they disgust me and anything like that, they should be allowed, if they're going to do their protest or whatever their rally is, to wear their stupid garb and go out and do it in the same way. You could argue that if somebody is allowed to dress,
a public library is different. A library.
Why does the roof make it different? I mean, why does the roof change the venue?
Well, because a library has a specific purpose. Most of the time, for instance, a library is quiet. Okay, there are rules.
Well, what if they're speaking quietly?
That you can't talk in a library. There are a library has a different function from a public park. I would no more restrict a drag queen in a public park or a brown shirt in a public park or a Playboy bunny in a public park than I would, restrict, a veteran in a public park. I might not like it, but I wouldn't restrict it. But a library does have a purpose, and that's where manner restrictions come in. I don't know if you can legally do it because of the First Amendment. I'm saying every option should be explored, and meanwhile, they shouldn't be doing it in the first place because it's inappropriate.
And there's so many people that agree with you, and I may in part, but I have to exercise the opposite side of this and ask this question too, because it's not compulsory. And you say it doesn't matter. You're basically saying if there wasn't a person there, there wasn't a child there, there was nobody there to hear the drag queen reading the story, you would still have this objection.
Okay, what this amounts to... Yeah, I would have the objection on the level of appropriateness. And what I am asking and what I ask of Donald Trump, what I ask of everybody... and it's like spitting into the wind, but that there should be a sense of decorum and right and wrong, of self-restraint in the public square. And if and look, I don't have any problem in terms of, well, I mean, I may or may not like it, but you wouldn't hear a peep if they wanted to have their private home and invite 3 to 8 year olds. You know, I'd say it was wrong, but it's none of my business. But the public library is everybody's business, and people should care. Now, the protests outside of it, on the day of its, you know, if it happens, I agree with Pastor Wolf that that is just going to draw attention and draw haters. We don't need anybody to hate anybody, okay? But citizens going to their council and to their council meetings in advance and respectfully asking that something be done, that I totally approve of. But I don't think I do think it's counterproductive to go out there on the day of with signs and chants and all that kind of stuff. Again, that's exactly what some of the sponsors want.
All right. We'll watch what plays out at today's city council meeting. The next time this will be addressed, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it this time next week. Let's take it to Arizona and the passing of Senator John McCain over the weekend. Quinn, your thoughts?
My thoughts are he's one of the most admirable Americans that ever lived. And it's not just because he suffered, although that's important. But if you set aside his specific positions on specific issues and look for the constant theme running through everything he said and did, and it is that he was an eloquent, deeply heartfelt exponent of American exceptionalism and American freedom and the goodness and decency of America and of our ideals. And he served that vision singularly and with unbelievable energy in every way that he could, in a way that made it clear and palpable. And you add that to the fact that he suffered so much and rejected early release and all the rest of it, and you have a man's man and a great American.
And I saw this yesterday, pretty telling. Will only be the 31st American to lie in state out of all the years of our republic. I thought that was telling.
That is telling, and of course, look. Even some of his own POWs didn't like him much. I don't care what they say, what some newspapers say about he and Jerry Denton were close. No, he and Jeremiah Denton weren't particularly close. They didn't necessarily like each other, but they respected each other. We had our own hero down here, Jeremiah Denton, who
Absolutely.
Is one of the greatest men who's ever lived.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, oh, John McCain was the only one that suffered, but I will
so
say...
So many suffered.
Many of them suffered.
Did not
what
go
I
on...
What I do want to say is what he did after that and what he used that for to drive himself to serve his country in the best way he knew how, that is remarkable, and it's absolutely absurd for anybody to spend this week saying anything bad about the man.
Yeah, it's been a weird thing. Like I said yesterday, as quite often I find myself in the middle. I definitely saw people, and this is on social media, which, you know, I caution people too. That's not quite often the opinion of everybody. That's people, you know, it's the way a customer service line at a company or phone line doesn't ring with people saying they're happy. It rings with people that are upset. Same thing here on social media. A lot of times you get the polarized voices, but those polarized voices, I saw many on the left that were using the passing of John McCain as a bludgeon against President Trump. At the same time, I saw those polarized on the some parts of the right that were using that as a way to get their last punches in or drag somebody through the mud. And I was disgusted by both sides, to be frank with you.
This is a time, and President Trump needs to understand this too, and as of most of yesterday, he didn't. This is a time to try to pull people together and say, what is it that was admirable about this man, and what can we as Americans learn from it to pull ourselves back together? And there was plenty there to draw us together, and that's what we should be focusing on. Look, in 2000, I came down slightly on the side, but but ended up very strongly of McCain over Bush, because I did want to clean the swamp way back then. I wanted to shake up the system. 2008, I was very strongly against McCain in the primaries because he was driving me nuts. So you can, the guy had a way of bringing out passions on both sides. But for goodness sake, look at what the guy did in the overall arc of his life and say, that's an American and we can be proud.
Well said. Quinn, if people want to get the trilogy from you, it's online now, right?
Yes. All three Mad Jones books, also known as the Accidental Prophet Trilogy, at Amazon.com. Please buy it. Please read it. And please give a good review on Amazon. There's lots of good stuff in there, including stuff that you will recognize as satire on things we're seeing today.
All right. Very good, Quinn. We appreciate it. Quinn Hillier checking in. We'll come back, grab your calls at 343-0106. 343-0106.
I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Thank you, Kane. 8:29 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig, and we've called an audible. I should turn your mic on. We called an audible in the studio now.
Yeah.
The one, the only, Mark Holliday.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Dalton.
Sean
good morning,
Sullivan
everyone.
Will be back for Midday Mobile. Just got done talking to Quinn Hillier about the Drag Queen Story Hour, along with the Reading Rainbow theme song, and also some talk about John McCain's life, the senator who passed away on Saturday.
Yeah.
And since then, I know Sean was talking about a lot of the negative tweets about John McCain, and there are a ton out there.
Sure, yeah.
A ton of Facebook posts that are negative. But I've also seen some really cool stories that I did not know about John McCain. And even back, I think this was probably around 2000, where the Comedy Central Channel, I believe, was trying... This might have been with The Daily Show, when Steve Carell was on The Daily Show back then.
Uh-huh.
And they were trying to interview McCain and catch him on something and make him look stupid. Well, Steve Carell and his camera crew there from Comedy Central, they asked McCain, who's your favorite poet? They thought that he's a politician. There's no way he won't know a favorite poet.
Yeah, right. Right.
McCain hesitated for a minute, and then he said, well, I guess Robert Service would be my favorite poet. And they kept rolling on this, McCain, expecting to get some gold, some comedy gold out of this. But after that, McCain recited The Cremation of Sam McGee, a poem written by Robert Service. And this is the poem. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails of their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. McCain went on to say that the guy in the cell next to him, while he was held captive,
wow,
it was his favorite poem. He would tap it to him on the wall in Morse code.
Wow.
And that's how I memorized it. Comedy Central did not end up using that.
Of course not.
Because it made McCain look too good, I guess. But that's a cool story about the late Senator John McCain. We're coming right back. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Thank you, Kane. 8:36 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. Mark Holliday in the studio.
Good morning.
As well. Good morning.
Hey.
Sean Sullivan will be back for Midday Mobile today, and Kelly will be back with us later this week. If you want to give us a call or a text, 251-343-0106, and we'll talk about whatever's on your mind, whether it's the Drag Queen Story Hour. It's coming to the Mobile Ben May Public Library on September the 8th, and there was a pretty big deal made about that at the county commission meeting with pastors from some local churches and people that are against the Drag Queen Story Hour coming out and speaking to the commissioners, and same is expected to happen today at the Mobile City Council meeting. But one of the major news articles, major news stories from yesterday was that trade deal President Trump announced with Mexico. He announced that the U.S. and Mexico had reached an agreement on a tentative revised trade deal that's intended to eventually replace NAFTA, that North American Free Trade Agreement. Trump said, it's a big day for trade, and it's a big day for our country. And he, of course, hilariously tried to get Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto on the line and finally succeeded, but it did provide a couple minutes of, you know,
yeah,
fun.
Wanted to talk to him about it before they did the official press briefing.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this, the pre-briefing?
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is it. So
it was pretty funny, but the main story about that agreement being signed ended up doing some great things for the markets, not just in America, but around the world. And I've got some of those numbers coming up. But several of the factors they say as far as this trade deal remain unresolved, including whether Canada, who is that third party in the NAFTA agreement, whether they will sign the deal or how we will work up a separate agreement with Canada and get them involved. They say the terms of this deal focus on manufacturing and will help U.S. workers by making it harder for China and other rivals to ship cheap goods for the U.S., destined for the U.S. through Mexico. And it also aims to bring labor and environmental rules into sync across the border so they can help protect U.S. salaries and jobs. And specifically part of that plan, the agreement would require that 75% of the parts in any car that's sold in North America be produced in the United States or Mexico in order for them to be exempt from tariffs. Right now, that threshold is at 62.5%. So that's almost 13% higher to reach that threshold. It would also require that 40 to 45% of auto parts in cars that are sold in North America be made by workers earning at least $16 per hour. So that's talking about bringing those labor wages more into line.
This is as much an immigration and a drug war deal as it is a trade deal, because if you can expand the middle class in Mexico, that's less of an incentive for so many to migrate north for economic and family measures. So if you can expand the middle class in Mexico, you'll, number one, stop some immigration. You'll make it less attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the drug things going on as far as smuggling north, if you can make more money doing something legitimate, you may not drift into making money illegally.
And it's these labor and environmental differences, the rules that are, the difference in the rules between the countries, that's got to be what the president was saying was the most unfair about this agreement. Because if they're able to build car parts and they're paying their employees $8 an hour, which would probably be high for in Mexico.
Exactly.
And we're paying minimum wage, which right now sits right around $15 an hour, then people will have their cars built in Mexico and have them here. So that makes sense to me. But the stock market
and labor will migrate north,
where
the high dollars are. So yeah, it's a lose-lose, at least for the United States in that particular scenario.
And we'll have to see what Canada does. I know that they're going to be talking to President Trump a lot more now that this deal is in, it looks like it's in motion between the United States and Mexico. But the stock markets really liked what they saw yesterday. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ closed at all-time highs. NASDAQ actually topped 8,000 for the first time yesterday, and the Dow went up 259 points, finished above 26,000 for the first time since February 1st of this year. And if you thought it was just the American markets, the global markets also seem to like what they see with the deal. France, their stock market index, CAC, it rose almost 0.5% to 5,496. So not the gains we saw here in America. Germany's DAX was up 0.2%. Britain's FTSE gained 0.3%. And so the global markets also showing that they think this deal could end up being better economically for the long run. All right, let's go to the phones right now. And back to that drag queen story hour, which we spent so much time talking with Quinn Hillier about earlier, and which we have talked about quite a bit over the last 2 weeks since it was announced that they will host a drag queen story hour at the Mobile Public Library, the Ben May branch. And that's coming up on September the 8th. They've actually now decided on a drag queen who will be reading that story.
We have a performer.
We do. The performer performer's name, the performer's male name is Wade Brassfield, but when he's in his drag queen getup, he's known as Chloe Cash, and he'll be reading two books to the kids. One book is, what's it called? Stella Brings the Family, and the other book, Rainbow Fish, and they're both apparently pro-LGBTQ reading material. But we go to the phones now, 251-343-0106, where we talk to Fireball. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Doing good. How about you?
Ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck.
Yeah, hey, I heard you on the Paul Feinbaum show last week. Great job, Fireball.
I appreciate it. Who owns Mobile Public Library?
The citizens of Mobile County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who initiated this drag queen storytell hour?
Well, it's brought to you by a local LGBTQ nonprofit called Rainbow Mobile Inc., but of course they had to go through the library to set up that schedule.
All right, and who okayed it through the library?
I guess the librarians?
Board,
I don't know who's in charge over there.
The directors, yeah.
Well, who in their right mind would want between a 3 and an 8-year-old wondering what in the world is telling them a story? I really, to tell you the truth, I live in Mobile County. I don't live in the city. But it's got to be, this is insane. I mean, when they get adult age, they ought to be able to decide what they want to do. But somebody pushing this off on the children, something's wrong. And that's my feeling.
I hear you, Fireball, and I don't think you're alone at all. I think a majority, actually, of the people that I've spoken with don't want this.
And that's the point, I think, that Quinn was trying to make, that this may be legal. First Amendment rights may come into play to some degree, but is it right? Is it the right thing to do? And my take on it, you know, if I had a child that age, they would not be going to this storytelling. And that's what I would encourage anybody who has a child of that age who may be used to going to storytelling at the library. In this particular case, find another branch, find another activity, do something else. This is not a conversation I would want to have with my 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old.
And, you know, this was a poll we had up on FMTalk1065.com for about a week, where the three options regarding Drag Queen Story Hour and how you feel about it, the don't care actually got more votes than either of the other two options. The people that cared, that was probably second place in voting. And then the people that are in agreeance with it being at the library and who would take their kids or just who feel like it's it is a good thing that it is there, that was severely outnumbered. But my thing is, and I know you got to fight for what you believe in, and I know there will be people out there protesting the event on September the 8th, but sometimes you play right into your enemy's hands. And, you know, I don't think that the group that's bringing this, Rainbow Mobile Inc., I'm not sure if they're looking for a fight, but I know that it does them more good for their organization if it looks like they're trying to bring together, that they're trying to be inclusive and show that there's this drag queen story hour.
2 weeks ago, who ever heard of Rainbow Mobile Inc.?
Yeah, I hadn't.
Nobody has.
And the question would be, how many people would know about this drag queen story hour if there hasn't been such a big deal made about it? I mean, how many people were going to take their children there to begin with? And now it's become such a big story, and I know it's going to be used against us if it hasn't already in some of these late night shows where, look at all these Alabama rednecks who are still stuck in 1970.
Yeah,
which I agree that you should have standards, and if you don't want your kid to go listen or be a drag queen story hour, then don't take him. And I also understand the argument that a lot of people say this is a slippery slope, and this is a way to get more pro-LGBTQ reading material into the public schools.
Sure.
So I totally understand where the people are coming from, but I just feel like sometimes you play right into the person's hands. And I feel like the people that started this initially in San Francisco San Francisco is where they held the first Drag Queen Story Hour. I don't imagine they caught much resistance there before they did that.
Of course not.
I think Brooklyn was the next city. Well, now they're moving into the southeast, and now it's becoming a problem with the people that live near these public libraries where these events are being hosted. And I think probably the person that initially started this whole thing has got to be just lapping it
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Because they get
exactly
more donations.
What they want. Yeah. No doubt about it.
There's multiple ways, I guess, to play this. And a lot of the people here in our city have decided to go out and protest, and I think make a bigger deal about it than it is warranted. But let's get your thoughts. 251-343-0106. I see the phone lines stacking up. We'll get to these phone calls right after the break, right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. Mark Holliday in the studio as well. Time to go to the phone and the text line, 251-343-0106. And Alan texts in, this station is giving them all the free press they could hope for. You're losing advertising dollars. Well, that's not the case, Alan. And actually, the show it's called Mobile Mornings, right, Mark? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, it is called Mobile Mornings, and yesterday the big news at the Mobile County Commission was the Drag Queen Story Hour, and today at Mobile City Council, the big story will be the Drag Queen Story Hour. On all the local news channels, they're talking about the Drag Queen Story Hour. Should Mobile Mornings not talk about the biggest story in the city? That's what I'm...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could put our heads in the sand and forget about it, but that wouldn't mean that we would be doing a service. So.
Right, and we would not be doing what the show is called, Mobile Mornings, and talking about what's going on in our area.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so let's go to the phone lines, and we'll start with Adman and Theodore. Hey, Adman.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Two things very quickly. Number one, you got to be an age when you teach children about sex. It used to be 12 years old before they could teach it in the schools, but that's my first thing. I mean, you know, whether it's a drag queen or anything else, it's still teaching young children, impressionable children about sex. And the second thing is, you talked about the rainbow fish being about gays. It's not. It's about teaching the kids socialism. They're teaching these kids in kindergarten about the rainbow fish and how we should redistribute all the wealth. That's what all that's about.
Okay, yeah, I didn't realize that, but I guess the other story that they're reading there, let me find the name of it again here, Stella Brings the Family, that's about a girl that has two dads and must decide which one to take to the Mother's Day event. So just with the name Rainbow Fish, I assumed, which was incorrect.
Yes.
Okay.
What age are you allowed to start bringing children into sex? I mean, you got PG-13 movies where, you don't let kids go until they're 13 years old to certain movies that are sexually explicit.
Yeah, and 3 to 8, you would not think that those ages would be in line with that. 3 to 8. You know, I really wonder what a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old would actually take from this. If they went to the event, what they would remember, what would, I just wonder what would be going on in the mind of a 3 to 8-year-old when this happens, because honestly, I have no idea whether they would probably forget about it in the next 30 minutes afterwards.
Ugly woman read us a story.
Right, that's probably how they'd feel. Let's go to Kay and Theodore, and I understand, Kay, are you the organizer of the protest that's coming up on September 8th?
Yes, sir, I am part of it with Common Sense Campaign, and I heard Quinn, and I agree with Quinn, but I wanted to tell you that, you know, a lot of folks cannot go downtown to Mobile Council and the City Council and talk because they work, but we had so many calls, and I did, about we want to do something, that enough is enough, and we're not going down to yell and scream and be heathenistic. We're going down simply to stand in opposition and let our faces and voices be seen, that we're enough is enough, that we do not believe this is appropriate for children. And by the way, at 3-year-old, on PBS, the school system actually had a program that said those are the most impressionable years.
Mm-hmm.
And even with that said, we're simply saying that we are shut off in so many areas that we are not allowed to say anything, or because we are maybe offending somebody, but they are offending us now.
Right.
And it's not so much a counterattack against them, it's for the protection of our children and what we believe that should be taught to them. And the guy with the movie was a great example. But I just wanted to say that we're not going down to yell and scream, and that's not our point. Our point is to do what's right, and do what's right by our children.
Okay.
And we believe that we can stand. We tell everyone, if you're coming to yell and scream and you have a dirty sign, you will not be welcomed. And
okay.
We in our group will ask you to leave.
Well, that's great, because I think that would be counterintuitive to the protest if you actually had people out there yelling and screaming.
Absolutely.
And Kay, are you going to be able to make it to the city council meeting today?
I'm going. Yes,
okay.
Sir. I went yesterday, and I'm going today. I need to know all the facts and get all of my ducks in a row.
All right.
And I'm grateful that I can go, but a lot of people can't.
Right.
All
right.
Well,
thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kay. And that's the organizer, or one of the organizers of the protest right there, I think, laying out her case very nicely. Because I guess just when I picture a protest, I'm picturing yelling and the mean signs. And
You picture the protest, the folks on the left protesting, you know, the paid-for protesters. You know, us working folks, you know, retired folks, we just, you know.
Hey, well, I'm not past.
We don't do that.
If anybody wants to pay me, I'll be there on September 8th.
You'll take the check, you'll cash the check?
Yeah, for sure. That does it for Mobile Mornings. Sorry we couldn't get to your calls. Had them stacked up right there. But we'll be back. We'll be back for Midday Mobile today after the Laura Ingraham Show airs next. Have a good one.